Welcome back. In this episode, we sat down with Rebecca Carmichael, otherwise known as the Ghost Guide.
Yeah.
In her new book, The Not-So-Scary Guide to Ghosts, which is out July 28th, TikTok sensation Rebecca Carmichael, known to fans as the Ghost Guide, invites readers to explore the paranormal with curiosity, confidence, and a sense of play.
Yeah, with a rapidly growing audience drawn to her warm, approachable take on ghost hunting, Rebecca has built a platform around making the supernatural feel accessible and even friendly.
Yeah. It's, which is perfect for you.
Me.
As I was reading the book, I was like, oh, Megan needs this because this is, you know, she's always so scared. And
I was reading and then I started notating and I'm like, I need to remember this and I like this. So yes, it was she wrote it in a very playful way. Mm-hmm. It's a very easy read. It's short, but it's packed full of information and I honestly loved it.
I did too. It's a lot of fun. It had some stuff I'd never heard of, stuff about being, you know, mediumship and things like that, and spirits and entities and clairs and all sorts of stuff that was new to me. And I read a lot about this, and we both, you know, consume a lot of social media about all this stuff, and including Rebecca. She was one of the first people I started following on TikTok when I first got on.
Yeah, I love her videos because she breaks it down and she makes it very accessible and not scary and not like this big mysterious ghost. Yeah. You know, it's very, I really like her videos.
Yeah.
And the book. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Her, and she also, in case you're trying to figure out which one she is, if you haven't seen any pictures of her associated with this yet, she is the one that does like little skits.
Yes.
So she acts out a conversation she had with a ghost, or she plays the ghost and herself.
Yep.
Or herself and somebody else that she's talking to about a ghost. And it's really cute. She does a lot of good work on there. So
yeah.
It's very really cool.
Perfect for, like Amy said, someone like me who's very scared.
A little scared.
A little scaredy pants. But no, it was a very enjoyable read.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I highly recommend. It'll be in the show notes, a link to it on Amazon. Will be in our show notes. And I know that she just recorded an audio version of it because I saw her, she did a video about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be, it'll be on Audible. I don't know when, but.
Perfect for the paranormal on the go.
That's right. For someone like me.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like I need to be doing two things at once all the time because my brain is two pieces. Mm-hmm. And so when I just read.
As opposed to everybody else who's as one.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, that was really bitchy. I was just teasing. That was so bitchy.
I don't know how else to describe it, but my brain needs to be doing two things at once.
Isn't that annoying that you're sitting there trying to relax and your brain is like, but you have laundry to do and dishes to do and you need to clean your house. And what about the cats? And you need to take the dogs for a walk. And have you seen the state of your outside? Like you need to be doing that. And it's like, can I fucking watch a show?
Yeah.
Damn it, brain.
Yeah. That's why I need to be doing two things at once. I'm watching TV and playing a game on my phone. So it was really hard for me to read a book that's in book form
because
I can't do anything else.
Oh, see, see, for me, though, reading a book in book form or Kindle form, that helps my brain relax.
Oh, okay.
So because it get like, I don't know how to, like, I'm focused on something. Mm-hmm. So, and my brain is like, because I'm one of those people that can imagine what I'm reading, which I learned
not everybody does.
Not everybody does. And that blew my mind. I do feel like I'm doing something because my brain is still working on picturing, what the characters look like and what this, you know, but
I don't think that's enough for me.
Also, I learned this on TikTok, so you know it's true.
Uh-huh.
So when I read, right, I this is going to be weird. I don't read every word. Like I will skim through paragraphs. Apparently people with ADHD, that is super duper common. Like if there's a paragraph describing what a scene is happening and where people are sitting and what they're doing and what they're wearing, I will just, in my mind, I'll say, okay, they're at a party and move on. So that's partly why I'm such a fast reader.
Oh.
But I did not know that other people did that.
Yeah.
I thought I was just a terrible reader because I just was I will skip ahead. I'm like, oh, I don't need to know. You have 7 paragraphs about a party. I don't need to know everything that's, right. You know.
No, I do that too. I'm so, like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Oh, she's wearing a white top with blue pants and a strappy sandal and her nails are green and her hair is in a pigtail. I don't give a fuck.
No, unless that's pertinent to the story. Yes. Like, oh, then someone later saw a girl with green nails.
And then that's how they identified her body was the green nails. Right. But yeah, no. So I just learned that and I just thought I was a terrible reader because I will skip. I'll skip ahead.
I do that too. Okay, I don't have a lot of
does
patience.
Does anybody else do that? Because, and all of our listeners are like, no, you're weird.
You're just weird. You guys are
which
weird.
I know. I mean, that's, you know, you're right.
We knew that. Oh, she's here. She's
okay.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Here she is.
Here she is. Ah!
Look how cute she is.
Oh my God, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to do my best to not fangirl, but I can't make promises. It might get uncomfortable and I'm very sorry, but I'm very, very excited to talk to you today.
I was going to say that too, because you were my first TikTok person that I followed, like one of the first ones. When really? I first joined TikTok, I was like, I saw you and I'm like, I'm in. So,
oh no, yeah. I brought you to TikTok. Oh no, I was the reason why you were like, I'm in on TikTok. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's I follow you Amy on and the other ones too.
That's how Amy and I communicate is through TikTok. So it's good. I mean, that's, you know,
okay.
Yeah, we just send each other TikToks.
Half of our conversations start with, have you seen the TikTok?
Okay. Yeah. See, that I can get behind because, like, especially in recent years, I've had this kind of moral dilemma of, like, oh no, do I keep posting because, like, the algorithms are trying to get into our heads and, like, I'm not trying to be, like, you know, conspiracy theorist about it, but I'm just sort of like, okay, so you know what I mean when I say
that. Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to, every once in a while, I have to, like, scrub my algorithm because I'm like, some stuff will show up and I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I have to be like, I don't know, something went wrong here.
Amy just sent me one of our favorite creators and I can't for the life of me think of her name. I think her name is Sarah
Hester Ross.
Yeah, she's the singer. And so she was like cleansing it and she was like, feminism.
Period.
She's like, so you can cleanse your feet. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Cause it was starting to get a little bit lean and a bit to the wrong way. And I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah. I wonder too, like, what is it about paranormal spaces that start like pushing us over to like right wing, even like farther and that kind of thing. I'm just like, what about ghosts says all that?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
And when we started this show, I did not expect that some of those people would be people that watch us or listen to us. And
they let us know though.
And then we let them know that that's not our jam. And
please leave.
They mostly peace out.
There's the door.
Yeah. We'll just talk about things that we normally talk about off camera.
People
and
rights.
Then they go, ooh, we don't want to listen to them. And I'm like, okay, goodbye.
Like human rights. Oh my God. What?
Yeah, that's the thing. We're talking about ghosts. A lot of the reason why they're ghosts is because they were denied human rights.
Right.
I feel like I'm going to such a 101 topic sometimes because I was asked the other day, I was like, why don't you get more political? And I was like, because I'm trying to start from the bare bones of how to treat people with kindness and dignity and that sort of thing. And I'm like, if you talk to me, I mean, I'll tell you how I feel about stuff.
Yeah.
And I've got like my personal Instagram where I'm
resharing
things and I'm like, y'all, can we do something about this?
Yeah.
But it's kind of wild.
It blows my mind that we have to teach people, grown adults, to be like, no, we don't say mean things about other people.
I know.
No, we got to treat people the way we want to be treated. Chad. No, Chad. Always a Chad.
Yeah. Chad. It's like, I'm going towards the block button. You're making me do it.
Don't, Chad. Don't you do it.
Okay. I love this. We're already right here.
We're best friends.
The first thing I would love to talk about is ghost walks because I went on one earlier this summer and they offered me, they were like, well, we want, we're trying to get new tour guides. And, you know, would you be interested? And I was like, let me check. Yes. 1,000,000%. I would be interested. So it's still kind of in the works, but I know you had a chapter in your book about ghost walks. So can you kind of talk a little bit about that, a little bit about your personal experience? You know, any advice for a tour guide you might have?
Okay. So ghost tours, ghost walks, that kind of thing. I always have a special place in my heart for ghost tours, and I will oftentimes seek them out whenever I'm traveling to a new city. And It's not necessarily about the ghosts, though I do love the humanization. Like, ghost stories oftentimes provide that human element to history that a textbook can so often leave out.
Sure.
That being said, with ghost tours, depending on the tour company, they can start sensationalizing and they can start telling a lot of trauma in a way that I don't always think is considerate of the spirit. Sure. I mean, imagine being a ghost, right? And somebody's coming out and they're like, yeah, and then they stabbed them 10 times and it was the love of their life right in front of their child. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe calm down a bit.
Yeah. It's like, why are we so excited about this?
Yeah.
Why are we so excited? Let's just, okay. So whenever I look for a ghost tour, I look for the history first, which doesn't always mean the most entertaining. It doesn't always mean the most sensational. And I'll be real, for me, it doesn't always mean the tour guide is always like the best performer. So yeah, with ghost tours, I'm always just like history first. And I think there can be some liberty with that, especially let's say they're changing the names out of consideration for something truly terrible that happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think there's some liberty that's there, especially if people are still alive that are connected with them. I think a lot of it also has to do with how the stories are being told. Once again, are we just digging up trauma for the sake of trauma? Are we celebrating crimes? You know, like, are we celebrating something like that, or the inhumanization of perhaps marginalized groups or anything like that? Like, it's a lot of context in that.
Sure.
And I think in part, especially when coming to work with one, it comes down to, you know, understanding yourself, understanding your morals, understanding with what you're okay perhaps saying for the performance area of it in trade of introducing history and introducing spirits to people who have not understood that. And maybe from my context, introducing it in a way of how can we understand rather than it's all
how
about
can we
fear.
Exploit?
Yeah. Well, and that's like, you know, your book, which I want to talk about.
I hope so.
The Not So Scary Guide is what it's called. The Not So Scary Guide to Ghosts. And that ghosts aren't necessarily scary. Mm-hmm. And that I think that for Megan anyway, because she's a scaredy cat.
I'm very scared.
So this was really good for I kept reading it going, oh, I hope Megan's reading this part. Oh, I hope Megan's because this is going to help her. Because she's, you know, and you've had a ghosty friend attached or whatever you want to call it to you for Megan for a while back in the day. Fred.
Oh, yeah. Frank. Yeah. Sorry. For like probably 4 or 5 years he was with me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But
just
I didn't
hanging
know.
Out?
Yeah, he was.
Oh.
I mean, I knew something was there, but I thought it was evil. And I thought it wanted to hurt me because every time he would show up, I would get scared. And so I was like, oh, because he's bad. And no, I reminded him of his little sister. And so he was following me around and protecting me.
That's so
And I
sweet.
Think he was because there was a, when I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, I was leaving the DMV. I've told this story on the podcast, so everybody, you can fast forward. But I was leaving the DMV, and this was back before cars automatically locked when you put them in drive. And so a girl got in my car. I was at a stoplight, and she hopped in my car, and she asked for a ride. And I was like, okay, sure. And she sat at the stoplight for a little bit because it was a red light, and she paused, and she looked at me, and she said, this isn't a good idea. And then she got out of the car and I never saw her again. And so I'm like, was, you know, did she mean to do me some harm and Frank made her leave? Or, you know, so just that's an example of, I think, Frank looking out for me and keeping me safe.
Yeah. Well, that's something to say about compromise as well. So often, and I think it's from the perspective of we're scared, right? We don't understand what we're seeing. We don't understand what we're experiencing. It's like outside of the realm of what society tells us is acceptable and okay. Mm-hmm. So when we have things like that happen, one, totally understandable to be like, you know, even if he means you no harm.
Yeah.
Two, there's something to say about amicably working with spirits of all different levels, but we'll talk about ghosts in particular, because we can have a mutual care for one another, even if we're not talking every day, even if it's not like kind of on a mediumship level or what one would consider a mediumship level. I've worked with spirits before. I mean, I talk about one of the experiences in the book where there was a house that I was living in. The dirty lived in that house. She had a tight ship on that house. Yes. Like she understood who was moving in and out, like at any given time. And I mean, she saved my butt more than a few times, but I talk about one of the experiences in the book. And the payment for that was one, making sure that I was checking myself before coming in and keep the house generally clean. And that was the compromise. She could boot anything that really wasn't supposed to be there. And I could do my part to just take care of the house in the physical where she couldn't. And that's the kind of trade. And I see that in a lot of consultations. I talk to people and a lot of different experiences where they're like, yeah, I was afraid of them at first. And then I realized that we were cool. And then we were kind of working with each other. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I think that's part of the reason why, I mean, one of the many, many, many reasons I loved your book, but it's very, I don't want to say user friendly, but like it is, like it spans all ranges. Like if you're just getting into it, it's kind of your how to guide. But then if you're, you know, sort of in it already, but looking for more tips, it goes into like the different ways you can sense spirits, all the clairs that you. So it's so easily understandable. You know, it's not, you're not using all this jargon, you're not using all these big words of, you know, that people wouldn't know. It's very accessible.
I'm glad that you found that.
I love the format, the way you have, like, you explain some stuff and then you have your little ghosty go-tos and the little,
I love
like
those
little clips of things, and then there'll be a ghost story, and then we'll move on to something else. And I like the way that you described things. Like, I knew about the clairs, but I didn't, like, you described them really well, and I don't think I ever knew about clair emotions. Is that it? Clair emotion?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an umbrella, clairsentience and clair emotion, but I like to separate the sentience and emotion part from the tangency, which is touch.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of tangency either. So I was like, oh, this is all new to me. So I thought that was really cool. It's very informative.
So, Rebecca, can I ask, like, what led you to writing this? Because I'm sure it went, you know, years of research and everything. What kind of gave you, how did you get the idea? Were you sitting on your couch one night and like, I should do this? Was it more something you grew into? Like, where did it come from? Because I'm a big fan. Glad you wrote it.
Thank you. With writing this book, it first started with a pamphlet. And as many great ideas, it just fell into my head. So thanks, future me. Thanks, universe. Yep. Thank guides. Thank whoever plopped that in my head.
Thanks to everybody, because love it.
And I got this idea to make a pamphlet because I had seen people on Instagram, you know, it's usually like the for your free resource. And I was like, I mean, I could make a free resource.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like, what do I make a free resource on? I could make a free resource on like so many things. I was like, okay, I'll go into the kind of 101. Because so often when people are starting out on their journey, it kind of feels like everything all at once. And I'm really good about being able to separate the everything to be able to more easily understand it. And that's what I work with people on in my courses and workshops and such. So I was like, okay, I'll make this pamphlet. And not even a month after I put out this pamphlet. I'll tell you, this is how I believe in fate. I'll be real. There were times in my life where I did not believe in fate. But this is one of those times where I'm like, it hit me in the face.
Yeah.
So on a day last year, it was only last year, that I was about to go to a meeting for just something I was absolutely dreading. Like, it was the end of a huge chapter in my life. I was just so upset about it. I could see the writing on the wall. And I was just like, I feel like such a huge part of me is about to just go.
Mm-hmm.
On the same day, I'm in a meeting for an in-person event at the same time. I happen to check my email to check something else entirely. And I see that I have a general inquiry from an editor at Adams Media and Simon & Schuster.
Wow.
So I'm looking at this and I open it up and I just, this is my partner at the time. I was just like, I started crying because I was like,
sure. Yeah.
What? She reached out to me and she said, hey, I saw your pamphlet. Do you want to talk about a potential book?
Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. I was just like, huh? So many feelings, like all at once, all at once. Yeah. I was like, I'm really sad. I'm really excited. I don't, huh? Like, where's my emotion?
Right.
I need to figure out what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. Right.
So she, one thing that I did when I had the more painful meeting later on in that afternoon mm-hmm. space, when I had to close that chapter, I remember I did a schedule send to basically tell this editor, yes, like, let's have a meeting. When do you want to talk? Like, let me know.
Yeah.
I did a schedule send about halfway through when the meeting would be so that I could look at the time and say, okay, I'm feeling a lot of pain right now. Like, I'm acknowledging the end of something really huge for me. And I'm also acknowledging the beginning. And I don't know if these two things are connected in any way, shape or form, but I am acknowledging that something has come through for me and there will be a way forward.
Mm. Yep. Perfect with that, timing.
Yeah. Like, wild timing. Same day. Like, just, and the fact that I checked my email at that time, which I typically don't do. Like, there were just so many things that lined up and I was just like, thanks. Thank you. Like, crying. Thank you.
Yeah.
I had the meeting with her, a fellow Rebecca, by the way. She's absolutely lovely. And she had been following me since 2021. And she had been an editor for, if not all that time, like most of that time working in the publishing business. And she told me that it was only until I put out that just really succinct pamphlet that she could see potential for a book. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, just what she focuses on with Adams Media, it, like the skits and stuff, that would have been too much. It's not exactly what they focus on. Like, she was looking for more educational content.
Sure.
I put out the pamphlet and she was like, oh, so you can do this. Not like she thought I couldn't, but you know, it's like right there in front of her face.
Like, you're willing to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, I worked with her and then I pitched the idea for the book and we went through a few different phases of like figuring out the outline and all of that. And once again, still, as all of this is happening, part of a huge part of my life is absolutely falling away, crumbling in the dust. I'm picking up pieces. I'm trying to take care of my people and take care of my community and all that stuff. And all the while, it's like, okay, well, the contract is Simon & Schuster. Like, that's what we're working with here. Like, one of the top five. And I was just like, okay, big emotions, big emotions, like in every different direction. Yeah, the process turned out to be very fast, though I'm very grateful for the editing team that I worked with. And they were actually behind the idea of the Ghostly Go-To. I pulled them together, but they were the ones to be like, okay, we need more, we need less.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I loved it.
Good.
Yeah. And I'll say too, with the pamphlet, it's still out there. It's still available. So if you want to get a taste of what the book is for free, you can do that. And what I love too with the editing staff, they looked at my pamphlet and they looked at my color scheme. They looked at the images that I use that I pulled together. And that's what you get to see in the book. Just more very friendly, very just open, very like, just, you know, as I said, I want it to be approachable, not scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely has that feel. I mean, look, the cute little ghost flying around on it. I mean, how cute is that? So,
oh gosh, yeah.
Mission accomplished. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like, because someone reached out to me once and asked me if I wanted to write a book. And I was like, oh, no, I can't do that. I just panicked. And I'm like, me? No. And I didn't. And somebody else did. It was. I have another podcast that's about gangsters in Minneapolis, which is where we are located.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a true crime, basically, podcast about these gangsters. And somebody not at Simon & Schuster, at a small little Minnesota book company, asked me if I wanted to write a book on it. And I was like, I'm not a writer. I don't know. I mean, I was like, thank you, but I was too scared to do it. Mm-hmm. And someone else did. She did a great job. We had her on the podcast. We're friends now. She just also wrote a book about hauntings in Minneapolis. So she's going to be on our show at some point, too.
At some point, yeah.
But so was there any part of you that was like I was, where it was like, oh, me? Really? Or were you just like, oh, ooh, I can bang this out, no problem?
Oh, wow. What a fascinating question to ask. Well, okay, there's two sides of this. One side is the side of me that's been writing ever since I learned how to write. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to write a book. Wow, I'm already in the past tense. How did that happen? I've always wanted to write a book. I've always just wanted that. And yeah. I've always been dabbling. I'll write things for myself and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when this all came together, seemingly out of nowhere, even though, you know, we leave breadcrumbs and then they, mm-hmm. you know, turn into something over time. I realized once I got the contract and it was actually happening, something like triggered in my brain. And what do I get is shadow work. Why am I getting writer's block? I know what I'm doing, right? Like, it's not the writing element. I've got this outline. I know where mm-hmm. I'm going. I know the stories, all this stuff. I was having all this writer's block. And it turned out that part of my journey with this book was also recognizing there was like a part of me that I wasn't acknowledging from my past and from like my mm-hmm. childhood days, like why I was writing in the first place, mm-hmm. why I cared to share so much with other people, why I cared so much to understand with other people. Mm-hmm. And part of that came down to being undiagnosed autistic spectrum for mm-hmm. most of my life. I used writing as a way to understand people.
Sure.
That and theater and understand myself. And I was in a place where I felt understood. I felt surrounded by wonderful people. I didn't feel lonely. And I had like these needs met. I became the person that my younger self really needed. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you find that fulfillment in your life, what happens? The shadow work comes up and is like, hey, it's time to address that wound. Am I right? So I would say, going back to your question, it wasn't this moment of like, oh, I can't write a book. I can't do that. It was, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. Of course, I'm going to take this. But the personal journey that I went on while writing this book to finally come out on the other side and say, hey, okay, I can do this now. I don't have to be lonely. I don't have to be sure. bullied. I don't have to be anybody that I'm not. I can actually be sitting in a place that I've cultivated for myself and that I've manifested for myself mm-hmm. and still be a writer and mm-hmm. still be a content creator and a psychic medium and a thespian and mm-hmm. all these other things that make up my life.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, long-winded, yes and no.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
That's what I'll say. Yes and no, depending on the day. And I'm very grateful to my editing team and everybody who worked with me to just be like, hi, you're not actually bad at this. For some reason, you think you're
always,
buddy.
Always great to hear, you know?
Yeah.
We're like, because I think, especially as millennials, which I don't know how old you are, but I'm a millennial. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always have that imposter syndrome of, I know every single person I've met has told me that I'm good at this, but like, are they lying? Mm-hmm. Like, are they just being nice?
Yeah.
You know? So that's a big identity that I have as a millennial, is that imposter syndrome. So
yeah,
totally get it.
I have that too, which is why I did that. Even though I'm not a millennial, I'm a little older. But
it's okay. Imposter syndrome can be for everybody.
Yeah. It's for everybody.
It's for everyone.
Millennials don't just.
You too can have imposter syndrome.
You too can have, yeah.
Can doubt everything you do. Yeah. No, that was where I was coming from when I was doing that. I had forgotten, though, that you, that I had just learned recently that you've been a playwright.
Yes.
So you have written plays, and so you kind of have that. I mean, I've written too, but not for anybody else to read, just for me.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want anyone else to read that. But So have you written plays that have been performed?
In different capacities, yes. I wrote a lot of immersive theater and theater that didn't necessarily get the big stuff, but that's also not what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A lot of what I wrote for, I did some workshops, that sort of thing, when I was living in DC. And I did a few workshops when I was in New York. Though, I'll be real, my work did not get pushed because I changed tactics in my life. I became an owner of a, what was the slogan? It's been years now. A psychologically based immersive theatrical experience, which was a room escape company. We had performers in the room. We had full plots. Yeah, it was like that was my playground. That was my creative playground for years. It wasn't just a room escape. Yeah, I didn't want people to just feel like, oh, I'm solving a puzzle. No, I wanted people to be like, I am a part of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was one of the first in North Carolina to do it and then like really bring people on that journey.
Sure.
And now I'm seeing more room escape companies take that immersive route. And I think it's great. I'm like, yeah, give me an hour where I don't have to think about the rest of everything else going on. Just let me be in the present.
Especially in this day and age.
Oh my God. Yeah. Let me forget the world is burning literally and figuratively.
That's right. That's awesome. That would be fun to do. I would love to go to something like that. I've done one of those. It was fun, but it was just puzzles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got out of it really easy because they kept giving us hints that we didn't ask for.
Oh, I hate that.
They kept coming over the loudspeaker and going, go over. We got out in like a half an hour. I'm like, well, yeah. And the person that our friend that set it up, she reached out to the company later and she was like, that wasn't really what we wanted. You know, we really wanted to figure this out and we didn't want those hints and you gave them to us anyway. And so they gave her a free revisit, like could go back. And she's like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Not if it's going to be like that. Yeah.
Truly, it is an art to get people down to the last 60 seconds, which is part of our immersive theater part. Mm-hmm. We wanted people to feel like they weren't going to escape. And then, you know, to have them get out of the 30 second. Not everybody did, but that last 60 seconds, that's what makes it, you know, you have a whole hour coming down to that. And we worked on it. And it wasn't a 3-hint rule. It wasn't a bunch of hints. Oftentimes it was an actor being like, I wouldn't go over there. Oh, you do what you want.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
That's nice sometimes and subtle.
Sometimes they would mean it though. Like I wouldn't go over there. And sometimes people are like, clearly I'm going to, but I'm like, but the one in the room isn't always your friend.
Right. That's really nice.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun.
Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the Haunted Lounge. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. Megan, do you have another question?
Yeah. I mean, I love the whole book. I just want to talk about the whole book, but which is what we're doing. But I think one of the things that I loved so much about the book is that it touched, and I might have said this already because I thought it, and sometimes I think and say and I forget, but I love that it touched on every aspect of ghosts. Like, it wasn't just, here's what to do if you see a ghost. It's like, before you even get to that stage, here's what, you know, you should be doing. Here's what you should be, checking into. And one of the things I really loved that you talked about was your checking into yourself and doing a baseline. Cause I had never thought about that before. Like,
I hadn't either.
You think it's so basic. Like, obviously I want to do a baseline, but I had never thought about that before. So that wasn't really a question. It was just, I really wanted to say I liked that.
Well, I'm glad that stood out as well, because that's something, as I've been talking to people, that it has been one of the things that really does stand out. And what I will say with the credit to that, it's not something I got from the paranormal community or the psychic medium community. It's something I got from going to therapy.
Oh, nice.
Look at you. We love a therapized queen.
Oh, for sure. Well, part of my psychic awakening or my reawakening has to do with my mental health. I mean, I say part, a huge part. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to learn how to listen to myself first, which is at point, the base point or the baseline. It's you being able to say, this is where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. It's not just with ghosts. It's with any conversation you go into with somebody. If you go in and you're already preparing for something, though you don't know what, but you're not first checking in and saying, okay, well, I'm feeling this. This is what happened to me today. This is the funny feeling that I have in my toe because it's like asleep for some reason, you know, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you go in. You never want to ascribe anything personal that you're going through to somebody else. You first want to understand so that then you can hopefully understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
One thing with ghosts that I talk about on a humanization element is when we can understand what somebody else is going through, when we can have sympathy for them and we can say, okay, I think that's what's happening to them. Oh, my light went out. That's so weird. It's okay. Well, I'll just be a little bit in shadow, or maybe I don't need it.
Hold it on. Still looks okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You still look fine.
Well, I think I can still plug it in at the same time, but anyway, I'll talk. So I'm still here. I'm at it. Humanizing folks, being able to understand what they're going through, that ability is actually a mark of high intelligence. And now when I look at people, and this is getting more into the psychological part, when you can understand what somebody else's life is like in somebody else's shoes, even if it's nothing like you, even if you do not agree, and it doesn't mean you have to agree, it doesn't mean you have to just always be tolerant or anything. If you can understand what they're going through, it allows us to be less reactive. And we can apply that to ghosts as well. So for example, you know, ghost is lashing out. You walk in, you get a terrible feeling. It's like, oh, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm so like upset right now. I'm so sad. You know, so often it can feel like that spirit is somehow attacking us. But if we take a second and say, okay, hey, hi, do you mean to do that? Do you know that you're doing that? Do you want to talk about why maybe you're doing that?
It's the teenage boy example in your book about the client you had who, there was the teenage boy who had passed away and he was scaring her children. And he was like, I didn't mean to. Like, he didn't realize it.
Yeah. And that poor guy too. He was just like, I want a family. And I was like, I understand this. I don't know if you're doing it right, though. We gotta reel this back a little bit.
Yeah. So you're like a therapist to ghosts sometimes.
Unlicensed.
Yeah.
I do not have that degree. Much respect to therapists. I just consider myself a naturally empathetic person, but also a person who has developed a lot of boundaries over the years so that that empathy doesn't overwhelm me and what I need to be feeling for myself.
Yeah. That is hard. Megan and I both struggle with that.
Teach me your ways, because
we both struggle a lot with that.
It's hard. It is hard.
It is.
Especially being, you know, empathic. We don't want, if we set a boundary and somebody pushes back or they get upset about it, then by association, we're upset about it. And it's like, I would rather just take the boundary down so that you're not mad at me. So I'm not feeling that you're mad at me. It's very convoluted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough.
And I'll say too, with part of the shielding techniques that I go into mm-hmm. in the book, you can utilize those shielding techniques, not just with the incorporeal, but the corporeal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say using the same kind of example with the physical person, you walk into a room, maybe it's like a coworker, and they're just, you know, maybe they're putting the coffee pot down in the morning and they're about to pour, you know, like they're just clang, clang, clang. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you start to feel maybe not anger, because that can be a lot to shoot into somebody, but maybe you're starting to feel overwhelmed because of their anger, right? Mm-hmm. That's a good indication to be like, okay, hey, 30 seconds ago before I walked in through the store, I was not feeling this way. Mm-hmm. What can I do to protect myself energetically so then I can decide whether or not a conversation or anything like that, or even staying in the room, is worth it for me? Mm-hmm. So that's when, you know, you take a second, just be like, all right, anything that's not mine, goodbye. You know, I talk about releasing in the book as well. Mm-hmm. And then you just put up your shield and be like, okay, this is my impenetrable shield. Doesn't matter if it's living or on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's not coming through. And then from there, see how you feel.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that you wrote about in the book was if you're going to be going, you know, on an investigation or even into a place, not necessarily investigation, you gave examples of what to say to, you know, make sure that nothing follows you home, which has been mm-hmm. a big fear that I've had mm-hmm. of me going somewhere and then something terrible. Like the guy that you talked about who had 18 ghosts attached to him.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, I don't want that. I had one and it was enough. And so mm-hmm. I really loved the fact that you gave examples in almost everything that, you know, every piece of the book, which I find incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. But that was one of my favorites, was you gave examples of before even, you know, not, like I said, not necessarily going on an investigation, but just going somewhere new, like what to say to kind of keep things out. And I loved that. Mm-hmm. I don't so much have questions, Rebecca, as just different parts of the book where I'm just going to be like, oh, this? Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah.
Oh, this chapter? No, that was great. I absolutely loved it.
Thank you. That's such great feedback. So, I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I'm going to be saying is, oh, this? Yeah, no, I really like that. That was great.
Well, one thing with that guy, there was a part of him that wanted that.
Yeah.
That was where he felt like he was getting attention. That's where he felt he was important. Mm-hmm. I tell people, in any aspect of life, it shouldn't be your only, like, paranormal investigation can be a huge part of your life. It can be your job. It can be your passion. It can be your hobby. It can be all these sorts of things. Though that's an aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, you should still be able to go home because you're still you at the end of the day. You're not 18 ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I could not. When you said that, when you wrote that in the book, I was like, oh my gosh. That seems like so much, not only like energetically, but mentally to just, oh my gosh. Yeah. No wonder he didn't sleep well.
Yeah.
And lost his girlfriend.
And lost his girlfriend.
Had a troubling life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many voices. Too much going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I struggle with my voice. I can't, you know, it doesn't seem like it because I use it a lot, but in my head, I'm like, what are you doing?
My voice does that too. We were talking about that before you jumped on. We were talking about reading the book and how it's hard for me to read like a book because my brain needs to do two things at once. I have not been diagnosed with anything, but I'm pretty sure that I'm ADHD and probably a little autism as well. And so touch of the tism. I need to be doing at least two things at a time to occupy the other half of my brain. When I'm just reading a book, there's another part going, hey, you know what? You really should be taking out the garbage, or you really should be finishing editing that last episode so you don't have to worry about that. I'm like, but I have to read the book too. So I have that kind of issue. I don't remember where I was going with this. What did you say before?
We do that a lot.
Conversation, like perhaps having ADHD, and to be like, I don't know where I don't know where I am.
Wait, I don't what know. Was I Some, talking about?
I started here and I ended I started, up here, and I don't remember.
And now I'm confused. Yeah, no, I don't. I honestly don't remember what Story I was going to say life. About that. But something about the voices, the voice, the voices. That's what made me think about it. I don't actually have voices in my head, not like that. But
I mean, one may have a train of thought. I don't think that equates to insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, my train of thought is never on the tracks. It's usually like parallel to the tracks, and then it goes to the right.
Gears off a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Through a house. You know, I mean, it really just varies.
Yeah. We do tend to do that a lot on our show.
And I am diagnosed with ADHD. So.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Lucky.
Hey, it's your show. Doesn't that mean you get to do what you want, right?
Yeah, that's what exactly. I say.
I'm just hanging out. You know, I'm here, so.
I mean, we're the lucky ones because, again, fangirling. So
yeah, we are super excited.
I'm trying to be cool, Rebecca. I don't know. It's probably not
You're being so cool. I mean, different if you were just like, I like you. I'd be like, okay.
You're so pretty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow, look at the time. I got to go somewhere, not here. So I know in your book you had, you know, mentioned that you had done a couple of investigations. One in Gettysburg, the Jane Wilder?
Jenny Wade.
Jenny Wade. Mm-hmm. I knew it was a JW. Yep. Do you still do investigations? Have you kind of taken a step back from that to maybe focus more on the, you know, on the book aspect and teaching, or kind of where do investigations fall in your life?
I'm in a place where I say I do experiences.
Sure.
Now, what does that mean? Investigations fall under the experience. I'm actively looking back into winding up where I'm just supposed to be and meeting whoever's there.
Yeah.
That's really, that's what got me into first posting skits on TikTok, where I was just like, well, I guess I'll share this. I don't really know if it's happening, but we'll find out. Like that was really it. I was really in my do it scared era. And I still am that in that era of just like, do it scared. Okay. I don't know. Let's try. With investigations, I do them, but it's really more for fun. And oftentimes it's with an element of trying to figure out something historically related. So it's trying to talk to the spirits and being like going beyond, how did you die? You know, like,
yeah.
It's more of the, hey, we're trying to find this building that isn't on the maps and it's nearby.
Oh, sure.
I'm wondering if you could point us in the direction of said building so we can work with the historical people and see if we can actually find some element of a foundation or something like that. Like I'm really into solving historic mysteries. And
that's so
cool. Ghosts... Yeah. Can help with that. And really, I say it because I want more people to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, how often they get asked the same five questions that are not super fun.
Yeah.
What if you go in and you're just like, hey, where did you live? Can I go visit there? Like, what does that look like to you? What color of the walls do you see when you were alive versus now? Mm-hmm. Like those kinds of questions. So I will still go on paranormal investigations. I think my issue with it, and one of these days I feel like I need to do a podcast recording with my partner on it, because Theron, who introduced me to paranormal investigation in the first place.
I follow them too.
Yay. Awesome. I love Theron. Love Theron in so many ways. I keep wandering off during investigations because my patience for having a spirit be able to come through sometimes, especially if they're like, oh, I'm exhausted, I don't really feel like yelling to make it come through the S-box, because it is a learning process for many of them. You can't just expect them to understand how to get on the wavelength to come through the tech.
Right.
So if they're not doing
especially
that,
if they're a spirit that died in like 1800 and they don't know what any of these things are.
Yeah.
And now we're expecting them to not only understand it, but put out the energy level required to communicate.
Yeah.
And if they're not super emotional and they're just sort of chill, sometimes they won't come through unless they really know how to manipulate the technology. And me, I'll just sit there and be like, oh, shoot. Yeah, I know. I understand you're tired. Like, do you want to get out of here? Like, we can go over to the next room and like actually chat. Like, so nice. I don't think I'm a good investigator.
Well, you are, but in a different sense than what the world believes investigators to be. I mean, with shows like Ghost Adventures and, you know, Ghost Brothers and although ghost shows, like, you know, we see in paranormal investigation as like, you know, mysterious and kind of spooky and scary, which is another of the many reasons I love your book, because it's not any of those. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got the people who are like, how many people, who's here with me? Are you here? Why, where did you die? You know, and it's, you're right. Like, maybe spirits don't want to talk about that for the millionth time today. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. They want to know, maybe they want to talk about what their favorite toy was as a kid.
Yeah, it turns into a show. It turns into, like, they're supposed to entertain us or something.
It's a debacle, and it's disrespectful, which, again, you talk about it. I'm sorry. Which you talk about in your book. But it's like, think of them, like you said at the beginning, like, think of them as, because at one point, most of them were a human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And understanding them, you know, as a person could maybe help you understand them as a spirit and what they were looking for.
Yeah. One thing that I love to do with an investigation is bring something for them. I'm big on bringing spirits for spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of drinkers from the past. So, you know, give a little to get a little.
Yep.
One of the things I did recently, I went to the Railroad Museum once I got my author copy, and mm-hmm. I read the part about the Wilmington Railroad Museum to the spirits.
So cool.
Yeah, there's a little snippet on all of my socials, and then the longer one I think is on Instagram, and then on my Patreon if you want to check that out.
Okay.
But I just pour a bunch of beverages out for these spirits, because I'm like, hey, if we're gonna party, we're gonna party. Yeah. Like, let's go.
So this is probably a dumb question. Do you pour them like in glasses or like on? Okay, sorry. I was like imagining you just with a bottle, just like pouring it.
Just pouring it on the ground.
On the ground, yeah.
What, you can do that, depending on who you're working with and the practice. Sure. Like some people will give offerings before they go into burial grounds as a form of respect.
Sure.
I do that especially if the burial ground is either, it could be if they're marginalized people, like BIPOC people, and mm-hmm. I'm there to learn and I want to show my respect, I will make an offering so that it's not with the expectation of I'm being talked to. It's more so the, hi, I acknowledge your strife and I acknowledge the hardship through history. And this is an offering to you. You don't have to interact, but I want you to know that I come in peace and I'm not expecting anything.
Sure.
The other thing would be if I'm going to a burial ground and they just seem really excited, I'm like, hey, y'all, you want to be more excited about something else?
Here's some whiskey.
Some whiskey. Out here we got rum. I remember I got moonshine for the guys at the Railroad Museum, and sometimes coins, that sort of thing. Yeah.
One thing that really shocked me reading about that was that you had said in your book that sometimes or often when you do that, the color will change or the taste will change. And that is like,
that's wild.
I mean, again, like you, it just, it blows my mind to think about that, because it when I read it, I was like my jaw dropped, because I was like, I had not thought about that, but it makes total sense. They take something from it.
Yeah, if you ever want to experience that firsthand with a group of people that I know take to it very well, I started doing this out at Fort Fisher. And this is at the end of the Cape Fear River in Wilmington. I'm pointing that way, but y'all have no idea. But no, it is, just believe me, it's that way. Yeah,
I believe you, Rebecca. Yeah. Look, we're friends. I believe you.
Yeah, the river
you wouldn't lie to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all things, second lie to you on, which... But no, at Fort Fisher, I tell people, I'm like, hey, if you're going to go visit the guys, go take them some Bojangles chicken. This is only for me, a vegetarian, okay?
Yeah.
I will be like, you go. If I'm going to buy chicken, it's going to be for the guys at Fort Fisher. They love them some fried chicken. That's how you get to a Southern man's heart, okay?
Yeah,
true,
I bet.
True.
You take them
and
some
sweet
chicken.
Tea.
Yeah, sweet tea. That was the next one. You bring them some sweet tea. You can get them some blueberry biscuits, really get them excited. You know, some of them got some sweet tooth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can put the box out there, just let them know, just kind of let intuition lead you and that kind of thing. Put it in. I would also say put another intention out there of like, hi, I'm not here to talk to the racist bigots who have not progressed in the last 150 years. Mm-hmm. That's my personal preference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would appreciate, thank you for sharing that, because I don't want to talk to them either. Living or dead.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some people, they talk to me and they're like, so Fort Fisher, Confederate. And I'm like, And I talk to the spirits who have progressed. There are some spirits out there who have not. And I'm like, you don't get this chicken.
Yeah. Nope. It's not for you.
This is for people who have progressed and understand a few things about a few things in the last 150 years. Because I don't think people should be damned forever. I don't.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think people can move on from their ways. They don't have to be set in a mindset. Mm-hmm. All that to say, going back to the chicken, take them a box of Bojangles out there. You leave it out there for a little bit. Try a little bit first so you can, you know, check the taste for yourself.
Yeah,
for
North
Carolina Bojangles experience. And then leave it out. You know, maybe put some gear out if you want to, like, talk to them, that kind of thing. They're really friendly out there. And then taste it after maybe half an hour.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, at least in my experience, and this is every time I've gone out there, even sometimes when I don't make an offering and then they come up and they're like, woo, you're back.
Yeah.
Taking my sweet tea. I've forgiven them, I think.
Yeah.
But it's Bojangles, so
that's a pretty that to take your sweet tea. That's pretty steep.
I was upset at the time.
I don't blame you. I mean, the way that Southerners love their sweet tea is, it's kind of a lot.
That and cheer wine, it runs in our blood.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes when you cut a Southerner, they actually bleed sweet tea. It's weird.
Yeah,
see, doctors don't understand it, but you know, it's fine.
When people talk about Southern heritage, I'm like biscuits and cheer wine and sweet tea.
Yep.
And if they're just like, well, yeah, but, and I'm like, no, there's no but there. There's no but. No. This is a culture. This is a lot of.
And they say culture. White people don't have culture. We had sweet tea.
I mean, I could go into the appropriation of like how the tea got there. And I know. Yes. The first place, but, you know.
I know. You're right. We don't. We steal everything.
I know.
But we can still appreciate it.
Yes.
Acknowledge.
Appreciation.
As long as we acknowledge. Yeah.
So with those investigations, I mean, Amy and I have kind of talked about doing it. She's all for it. I'm scared, as we have aforementioned. Do you have any like tips or any equipment or anything that you're kind of, this is what I take every single time? Or is it more like depends on where you go? Any advice for maybe some investigators who are scared me?
Babies who haven't done this before?
Yeah.
I don't want to screw anything up.
Or offend anybody, because we are all about being respectful to spirits. That's so right. Even before we read that in your book, we are very much about that.
Yeah.
For sure. Ooh, okay. Where to start? I had like an idea and then I was just like, respect to spirits. I agree. Yeah. No, it wasn't you. Anyway. The first thing you can do is acknowledge if you're uncomfortable and then not do it if you're uncomfortable. But here's the thing, big difference here. There's fear that hurts you. Mm-hmm. And then there's, it's uncomfortable because it's different. Right. So understand the difference between fear and uncomfortable. Our brains are programmed to do what makes us comfortable, but staying uncomfortable doesn't always allow us to grow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's going to be something you acknowledge for yourself. You know, understand. Yeah. And the way that you practice in your everyday life, right? Am I afraid of this or am I uncomfortable? Am I afraid of this or am I uncomfortable? It takes 30 seconds, even if it's like, oh, I want to go take a walk. Oh, but the sun is going down. Is it a fear thing or is it because you actually don't really want to go on a walk? And that means you have to put on your walking shoes.
Yeah. And you know, put a bra on because I never wear one at home and they can't do that outside.
I mean, okay. I'm not wearing a bra right now.
I love that for you. Am I? No, I'm not either. Perfect.
See, no shame.
I'm shame in the free boob game.
Yeah. Also, I'm in the South. It's humid. It's too hot for that.
Yeah. It's
true. Under heat warning.
Yeah, it's too hot for that noise.
No,
yeah. Like, if it helps you, it helps you. But otherwise, it's like, no, leave us alone.
Yeah.
There are some men out there that qualify for bras, and they don't have
absolutely.
To wear them.
Absolutely. I know.
So, yeah.
Amen.
If you want to wear one, great. If you don't want to wear one, let's move past that. Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I got us on a tangent. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I'm just like, y'all are getting a unique side of me for your podcast. Everything else has been like, hey, Rebecca the Ghost Guy, da 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 da. Like, you're getting very much like, no bras.
That's okay. That's how we bras roll. That's how we like it.
No, bras are for the, I don't know, geese. I don't know. I don't know, you
people
guys.
Who want to wear them. How about that?
Yes. Let's do that. No shade if you love bras. No shade. Yeah.
There's some cute bras out there.
There are some cute bras.
Yeah.
Very
empowering bras. Yeah.
Yes. I hate them. But that's just me. Yeah. I don't want to yuck your yum. If you love wearing bras, I love that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope people can comment on your podcast and be like, I am pro bra or I am con bra.
Yeah.
Well, we'll cut this part out for a clip for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
For a reel or comment TikTok below, or whatever.
Pro or con bra.
Came to talk about spirits, stayed to talk about bras.
There you go.
Put that on a t-shirt.
For sure. For sure. That's all you. That's all you. You get it. You trademark it. Yeah. Acknowledging your, is it discomfort or is it fear? And you can do that in your everyday life. Start practicing in your everyday life. Mm-hmm. That's psychology.
Yeah. I know we're getting close to time here, but I do love that you talked in the book so much about mental health and,
you're
a big proponent for mental health and trying, and you touched on therapy earlier, but that, that I also have another podcast that I do with a friend who's a therapist, and she's also a little woo-woo, and she found us through this podcast.
Through our podcast,
and so we talk about, she and I talk about, like, the spiritual parts of psychology sometimes, too. And so to hear the kind of stuff you were talking about has been really interesting. How do you find those connections? Like, how do you find that psychology and or therapy, whatever, and the spiritual world connecting? I mean, you've touched on it a little bit, but like anything else you want to say about that?
I wholeheartedly believe the more one understands oneself, the more they're able to understand everything else. And what everything else means to you will always be personal. I am never here to convince people that ghosts are around. That does nothing for me. I want to talk about the human experience and how that goes beyond death. It's like when people ask me, they're like, I ask people if they talk about, like, well, how do you have friends with ghosts? And I'm like, well, if you have somebody who passes, do you just suddenly not love them?
Yeah. That's a wonderful explanation of that. Yeah.
Like, where does that go?
Yeah.
You know? And every single time it's like, no, I still love them. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Well, let's say they're somewhere. Or let's say, you know, they do what they need to do and you can connect with them safely and, you know, so that everybody gets something cool from it. Love has no bounds.
Right.
Cool. Psychology is highly important to me because, one, it gives me grounding. That is what grounds me. If I am ever in a bad mental headspace, you won't see me go into a place to investigate. You won't.
Nor should you or anybody, because I feel like that's irresponsible of you.
Right. It's
and you're more vulnerable at that time, 100%. Too, right? Exactly. Something happening.
And that's how you end up with 18 ghosts. It all comes back to the 18 ghosts.
I've done over 2,000 consultations, like one-on-one consultations with people at this point. And I had to come to a place where I had to get comfortable with telling people sometimes, not often, fortunately, but every so often something would happen. And I'd have to email them and I have to say, hey, my brain's not my friend today. And if my brain is not going to be a friend to me, I do not want to try to channel into you.
Sure.
Because that can affect, like, it. We're dealing with like heavy emotions and that kind of thing in some of these things. You know? I never want to just like put my stuff on somebody else, you know? And the way that I stop that from happening is from knowing me and from give myself grace. That allows me to give other people grace.
Yeah. Like your emotional check-in that you talk about, like how you said earlier, okay, 30 seconds before I came in this room, I wasn't feeling this way. My base was this. What changed? So I think it's, and I think that's important regardless of whether you're dealing with spirits or humans. Like how many times have we, even like for me, when I fight with my husband, because I'm empathetic, when, you know, his anger leaches into me and suddenly I'm feeling like anxious and stressed and I don't know what to do with myself. And so having that emotional check-in, I think, you know, is great in any in every aspect of life. I love, like Amy said, that you incorporate so much mental health into the book. You know, like I remember one time you were one of the things I think was Claire, when you were talking about hearing like voices in your head and you're like, but Claire, if you're actually hearing voices that might not be, you know, that are telling you to harm yourself or harm others, that's not what we're, so seek mental health. So I really love that you are highlighting it and saying, like, you know, if this is happening, you might, this might not be spiritual. So I think it's very important because how many people who were considered, you know, spiritual were actually schizophrenic or bipolar in the past or, you know, all of that. So I think it's really great that you touch on that.
For sure.
Psychic ability can be blocked, turned off, like cut. Like I know that firsthand. Most people know that firsthand, especially if they're having a reawakening and they're coming into understanding their sensibilities. Mental health on the scale of delusion cannot be turned off until we have the tools, some of which is sometimes medication.
Sure.
Sometimes, I mean, certainly it's therapy. And I tell people all the time, it's grounding for me and it's grounding for the people when they're like, well, yeah, I think I'm talking to this one woman, like by this one tree. But one day I was like really in my thoughts and I didn't pick up on her at all. And I'm just like, that's an indication to me as a non-licensed person of psychology. I'm like, okay, if you were in your mental health fields and you didn't see her and she's not leaving the tree and maybe somebody else did a double take while they walked by, that says to me that that is some kind of entity. If she's following you and she's telling you to do terrible things to yourself and that kind of thing, that's a different matter. And if you can seek relief from that matter, it's absolutely life-changing to have quiet. And that quiet, that tranquility is absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if people ask, oh, like, am I crazy or whatever? I'm like, okay, so that's your brain trying to keep you sane, asking that question. For the very few people that I've ever met in this line of work who are truly having like mental based delusions, they never ask that question.
Interesting.
It was always, oh, it's absolutely there. Yes. They are telling me this. And I always had to bring them back and be like, well, what in the physical signs that you get? Oh, nothing, but you tell me to believe in myself. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I do want people to believe in themselves, but I also expect people to check their bases.
Yeah.
And what bases did you check?
Yeah.
So, there's balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Everything,
cool.
Everything in balance.
Everything.
Weird way to like wind up on this hour. Do you have something else to go over?
I love it.
I know.
Maybe a nicer topic. I don't know.
Oh, I do want to mention just quick, just to give you feedback. I don't know, because you said you like that, but I loved the whole thing about the frequency tree.
Yes.
Explaining about like from the roots to the base, to the branches, to the canopy, all that being where the different entities lie in frequency. That was so cool to just like picture that. And I have a big tree in my backyard that I say I'm friends with.
Good.
And I need to go out there and just sit with him and go through those exercises and stuff because it was so cool to me.
Yeah. I mean, Rebecca, I'm going to be honest. We could sit here for another hour and I could just go and say things like, and in this part of your book, I really liked where you said this.
And then I copied this part.
And then I highlighted this part because it was really good. Yep. And oh, and I got to, but like, seriously, I'm not just like, I think your writing style is wonderful because it's easy to follow. It's conversational. It's, you know, you don't use, you know, big scientific words to try to make yourself sound smarter. You make it very accessible. And I loved your book. I loved it. I can't say if there was a stronger word than love, I would use.
I agree.
Well, thank you. Truly, with the tree, what I'll say real fast on it is that's how I see more psychic mediums being able to get along, because too many, I don't think I can call it a community at this point, because there's too many fingers being pointed in a bunch of different directions.
Sure.
And I'm like, though the analogy of the tree is basically to say, hey, you can read at the top of the frequency tree and another person can read at the bottom of the frequency tree. And it doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong.
Yeah.
It means
yeah.
one has a perspective here and the other one has a perspective here. And if you understand that it's possible to travel, to change your perspectives, that's really all I'm asking for here. That's how I think we can all get along. We'll see. But that's what I'm trying to push out there. I'm like,
fingers crossed, right?
Wouldn't that be great? That'd be so great.
I think it's possible. That's why I want more people to be psychic or to acknowledge that they're psychic so that we can have these conversations.
I just need to get out of my own way. because I'm my biggest block of my psychic ability because I'm scared and I don't want anything bad to attach to me.
Yeah.
Pursue what is good, you know, like good for you. That doesn't always mean like they were such a morally just person. No, yeah, good for you could mean like, I don't know, some pirate or something. I don't know.
Oh
like,
my God. don't tempt me with a good time, Rebecca.
But no, you're North Carolina. Yeah. You can go hang out with some. And then have the rest of the village come after you and be like, we don't like pirates. All in spirit. That was a wild night. Different story.
Wow.
My goodness.
Well, now we got to have you on again.
I was going to say, we're going to have you back on again just for tell ghost stories.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. For that one, though, if we're going to talk about Bath, you might as well have Theron on as well because
let's do it.
We got into trouble that night. It was great.
The I would love to do that.
Yeah, like.
Oh my gosh.
I would love to do that.
I would love to.
We're working on an episode where we're just going to have people come on and meet with us and tell ghost stories.
Ooh, yeah.
And so we have a couple already in the logged, you know, recorded. But if we could pick out a time to have you and Theron both on and you can tell that story and it wouldn't have
and
to
any
be
and all stories?
An hour, just however long you want to do.
You'll have to tell us when to stop talking because we've got a lot. So, well, there yeah.
would, if you we want probably the full would story, not tell you to stop talking.
We wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
We'd look down and be like, oh my gosh, you guys have been on for 4 hours. We should probably go eat.
Also, yes. I'll be like, oh, the sun went down.
Yeah. Huh.
That seems to mark time. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually.
Well, Rebecca, is there any final words that you would like to say regarding your book or regarding your TikTok or your socials or anything for our listeners?
Ooh. Well, with the Not So Scary Guide to Ghosts, as you've put it numerous times, which I appreciate, it's meant to be approachable. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be for any level. And even those who are well-practiced paranormal investigators, well-practiced psychic mediums, spiritualists, etc. So many of them are still reading this book and saying, I learned something new. This book is meant to encourage you to keep going. It's meant to remind you of experiences that you had that maybe you couldn't deconstruct at the time, mm-hmm. but now that you're here and now that you're in a safer place, the options are available. I tell people, if you get a hard copy, write in it, write, you know, anything.
I was afraid
can.
To write. I just made notes.
I wasn't.
I didn't want to.
I wasn't, Rebecca.
Yeah. Yeah. Like write out your experiences. This is meant to be a jumping off point. It's meant to inspire your own experiences in a grounded, ethical way. It's meant to create conversation with people that you might not expect to have those conversations with. That's what I want. I want it to be approachable. I want it to be a conversation. I want more people to acknowledge their intuition so that we can have more advanced conversations and learn to trust ourselves more running down the road.
Yep.
Awesome.
But yeah, with all that, if anybody wants to find me, I'm at RebeccaTheGhostGuide.com, R-E-B-E-K-A-H. All my socials are there. Those are my only socials. Please, if anybody DMs you saying they're me, they're not. Just walk and report them. Yeah. All the time, too much.
That's so prevalent. It's so bad.
It's horrible.
I probably have 40 Amy Allen. Yeah, Amy Allen from the Dead Files.
Yeah.
I probably have like 40 Amy Allens following me and none of them are the real one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is so upsetting. And they really do prey upon
they do.
People who just they need something, they want something, and that's what makes me so angry. They prey upon the vulnerable.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. That's awful. All right.
So, yeah.
On that note, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a blast. So much fun. And
oh my gosh.
Serious, we would love to have you back on. Tell us some ghost stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
I'll get in contact. And
thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We appreciated it.
Yeah.
Loved your book. I don't know if I've said that.
I don't know, Megan. Did you like it? Was it okay?
I know I'm really like, I keep things close to the chest. And so it's really hard to read me sometimes. But I did really like it.
Yeah, I did too. Well, I'll be getting the audiobook, which I just saw your video on how you recorded the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And it took you like 15 hours or something to record the 5 hours. So I guess the book is 5 hours long to read.
I saw today, it's actually 6.5.
Somehow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked at the listing. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll be getting that too, because I enjoy, I really enjoy listening to the author reading stuff too. So
I do too.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be doing that too. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will hopefully talk again some other time.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds great. Right.
Thanks, all right. Rebecca.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh my God, I love her.
How much fun. She's so cool. Yeah.
Oh my God, I loved her. I loved She's her great. So much. I want to be her best friend forever.
I know. She's great. Well, that was super fun. Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
I forgot we were still on a podcast. I thought
we're still recording. That's all right. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you.
Like and subscribe. I'm supposed to say that.
Oh, yeah. Like and subscribe.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.